For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The past couple of weeks have been some of the most unsettling in US politics in decades. But Kamala Harris has now got the support of enough delegates to be the Democratic nominee for president. And after the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, the resignation of the Secret Service director was almost inevitable and happened yesterday. Plenty to speak about what's happening in America at the moment. And joining us now is Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post. Marion, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, what a time it is in America.
They have to find a new word for unprecedented, because this is it's being so overused. I have never, I think this is my fifth or sixth campaign I've covered. The volatility, just you could not make this up. This would be laughed out of a writer's room.
Let's talk about the first, probably not that surprising event, which was yesterday's resignation of the head of the Secret Service.
Yeah. You know, I really think that Kimberly Cheadle, I was surprised, honestly, when Jamie Raskin, who is the ranking member, the Democrat, James Comer is a showman, the Republican guy. He's a clown and he likes to be volatile and to mix things up. But Raskin joined and said that she should resign. Raskin is very, very well respected. And I think that suggested that the Democrats also fell. This was so egregious in one way. You know, you have second only to a shot being taken at the actual president, to have a presidential candidate and former president.
Yeah. But the problem they had was trying to explain why the warnings, and we heard from all the witnesses who said, we saw this guy climbing up the side of a building with a rifle, and no one paid any attention.
Inexplicable. And, you know, even the fact they didn't have, I've been to probably more than 100 of these rallies, you always set them up in a way that you have the bulletproof dais in front of the speaker. Yeah. Then there's always a pitched roof behind where the Secret Service can go and they can scan the whole area. They could see that roof clearly. Now, why there wasn't somebody on that roof is also extraordinary. But the fact that that was in their line of vision and that they were warned, that people on the ground were telling the local cops and the advance team, you know, they tried to blame the local cops initially. This is the advance Secret Service team's
job.
Okay,
why did Trump not have that bulletproof glass in front of him?
At those rallies, Trump does what Trump wants. So he had the Diaz is bulletproof. Yeah. So when that came up,
that would protect it from his waist down. Yeah, no more than that.
But it's not going to protect the chest and head. But also, Pat, the other inexplicable bit was that after he went down, after they bundled him down, that they then allowed him the time to stand back up with his full torso and head fully exposed.
Another headshot to the shooter.
Head and body shot to a possible second shooter. Of course, the Republicans aren't talking about that bit because that gave them the iconic shot. They're frankly fine with that. But for the Secret Service to have made that lapse, and that was, I spoke with an FBI, former FBI friend of mine who was very senior, and she said that was the bit. She said it's all inexcusable, but that they allowed that to happen. They normally take them out horizontally, literally head and feet, to stop them. And that they gave him that time is absolutely, but Trump became far too close to his Secret Service team. People left the Secret Service to join Trump's team and then went back to the Secret Service. It all got very muddy. They destroyed the texts after January 6th. They're much more political than they should be. And I think they let Trump bully them. And that was why they allowed him to stand back up and do his fight moment and that photo that we saw. But as I said, the advance team absolutely blew it. And I think even though, you know, the buck does stop with the head.
Yeah, and she had to go. I mean, it was inevitable.
Had to go, because even though it was not her job to be part of the advance team, it wasn't part of her job to be on the ground. The president is her main priority, but still it was, you know.
Now, if people thought that Trump had the election in the bag after the debate where Joe Biden faltered so terribly, after he was winged in the ear by the shooter, they said it's game, set and match, no problem. Now, this, of course, provoked Joe Biden, and we'll hear from him today, I think it is. He's going to address the nation and explain his logic.
Today or tomorrow. Now, I got two different notes on that, so I'm not sure if it's going to be actually later today or tomorrow, but it'll be this week anyway.
Yeah. So he's going to explain the rationale and how he's fit to keep going.
Yeah.
Now, it's an interesting thing. Suppose he decided to step down. Kamala Harris would then become president.
She would.
So she would be campaigning as president.
She would.
That's an interesting kind of scenario.
It is. I'm not sure it's something she needs, quite frankly. You know, it's difficult enough for an incumbent who's been in there for 3.5 years to go on the trail. For somebody to come in and assume with 3 months to go, 3.5 months to go, to assume the job of president, that is a learning curve and a half. And then to try and run a campaign at the same time, I think it's just, and I don't think anybody is seriously calling for Biden to step down at this stage. You know, we did see at the press conference after the NATO summit that he was, you know, he did mix up the Putin and the names, but checked it immediately. So I think that it seems that he is having these more frequent than he had lapses. And that was the concern. And when he had those lapses, they were so visible. They were so galling to watch. They were, you know, and I think
it's not just verbal lapses. No, physically
it's
he is not.
It's the freezing. It's the, so
trying to make his way up Air Force, the steps of Air Force One.
He's evidently physically and mentally diminished. And, you know, it's like a faded photograph of the original. I remember, you know, Joe Biden 20 years ago on Capitol Hill, he'd host all these events and he was always wandering off the reservation when it came to conversations. He'd start telling you a big shaggy dog story. He'd go off into something else. He was doing that in his 50s, you know, so it's not, but he has definitely, there's no denying his decline.
Now, what impact is his departure going to have, first of all, on the Trump campaign? And we'll talk about how they'll tackle Harris. But Trump himself, as now the oldest candidate ever for the presidency of the United States, and his rambling. I mean, a 97-minute speech, which even had his ardent fans leaving the venue before he finished.
You know, I was on the floor for that speech in the convention. Like, I was right down beside the Texas gang who loved to jump up and down and wave their hats in the air and all that. You could feel the energy. He started off strong. The first about 15 to 20 minutes, and he spoke about unity and didn't want to win just half the country. And that was the Susie Wiles operation. Susie Wiles is his manager. She's a veteran. She's as tough as nails. She looks like the sweetest little granny, but she is tough. And she was keeping him on track. And Trump just cannot help himself. We all saw the teleprompter freeze for 15, 20 minutes. He went off onto Hannibal Lecter, how much money Kid Rock was making, etc., etc. And the energy just leached out of the convention center. People were looking at their phones. Initially, they were praying, they had their hands in the air, they were cheering. They were basically, this convention was like an inauguration. They believed they had won it. They had won it. There was no way. And they were probably right at that point that Trump was going to be defeated if Biden was the opponent. And every single person I spoke to there thought it's all over bar the inauguration. And so now the whole script has been thrown up in the air. And just as you said, it's now a 58, 59-year-old woman against a 78, 79-year-old man who has a lot of also evident decline that I can see from 2016. And who's not doing that many events. You know, he's been kind of phoning it in up until now for the first 8 months of this year, 7 months of this year. And, you know, the big occasional rally. And he doesn't have a message other than really antipathy and grievance and retribution. There's nothing very, and then of course, you know, round up all the migrants and it's an ugly message. I, though, Pat, worry a little bit about Harris, and let me tell you why. As a candidate, I went to her in January 2019. She had a huge launch to say she was going to run for president. I went up to Oakland to see it, and it was as big and as excited as Barack Obama's final event as candidate in 2008 when he was in Chicago and they were
so
all in the field.
So there was great enthusiasm for her.
I can't explain.
How did she blow it?
And this was the thing. She was there. She blew it because she had no clear message. She had no clear vision of what she wanted to do as president. And she wasn't that great on the stump at all. She's a prosecutor. She's very good at asking questions. She's not that great a debater. I don't know if you remember her with Mike Pence. She didn't, you know, he really held his own there. But she has come across... the vice president job is almost the worst job to you know, show your credentials for president because you just get put in the corner.
But she must have got a lot of air miles under her in terms of speaking on the stump about all sorts of issues.
She did, but she really wasn't that strong. I remember her in the Senate when you'd be up in the press gallery and you come in, you'd see her walking in and it was quite funny. I remember one day she walked in and all of the Republicans, she's a very striking woman. She has a charisma. She has this brilliant smile, and she just brought this kind of exuberance with her. And you'd see her walking in, and even all the Republicans would turn to her to smile and say hello. You'd see Ted Cruz walking in, all the Republicans would run the other direction. Mm-hmm. You know, like, she just, people liked her. She's a likable woman. She's fun. But now they're defining her as this kind of slightly giddy, flighty, and a little like Hillary Clinton. Instead of saying, this is who I am, basically take it or leave it, she tends to allow herself to be focus grouped a little bit. And that can interfere with an authenticity.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and I think that might be, that's something that could be a problem.
This is going to get ugly. We
this
know that
be
because Trump,
it's
in terms, even the people within his own party, he derides them, he belittles them.
Yeah.
So he's going to have a go at her. This is some of the historic stuff that Trump had to say about Kamala Harris.
By the way, Kamala will not be your first female president. She will not be your first female president. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to have a socialist. Look, we're not going to be a socialist nation. We're not going to have a socialist president, especially a female socialist president. We're not going to have it. We're not going to put up with it. It's not going to happen.
Especially a female. Now, how is that going to play in the popular vote?
Look, again, this is where Trump can't help himself. And if you look at his running mate, J.D. Vance, who has said that women should stay in violent marriages, that there should be no abortion allowed, even in case of rape or incest, that women probably shouldn't even be working. He has said a few times that there should be a one person earning the
salary. So basically the elegy hillbilly author is still a hillbilly.
This is 1950s campaigning. You know, I mean, it's just, and the thing is, it's women who drive out the get out the vote, and black women are the formidable when it comes to getting out the vote. And for him to be sneering and talking like that, and as I said, he can't help himself. He already has a long record. He has a record of sexually assaulting women. He has a record of saying really ugly things about women, demeaning women. And she is a prosecutor. She can prosecute this case against Trump much, much better than Joe Biden ever could. I think that will be her strong suit. And also on the Roe v. Wade, on the abortion issue, Biden is a very devout Catholic. He was never comfortable talking about that. And you could see it. He could never really say, your rights are being taken away. We're being sent backwards. She can say that much more formidably. But that will not win it on its own. It will be the economy. Immigration is going to be huge. And of course, Biden, in a really unfair thing, he
gave
her
the job.
Yeah, because no one can fix that. Yeah. Nobody can fix that.
Now,
and he gave it to her.
In terms of the way her campaign is going in these early days, with just over 100 days left for her to have a go. Volunteerism and money.
Money, they're the two things. She, $100 million in you know what, in the first 7 hours, I was told by the ACLU people that they raised nearly $50 million in 7 hours. That's really almost, I think that is the...
And where's that coming from? Is that anybody
small,
but Trumpers?
Small donors. That's coming from small donors who are now fired up. They now believe, I mean, I can't tell you the dispiritment and the disillusionment amongst Democrats for the last couple of weeks. They just thought they were just watching a slow motion car wreck. And they really believe now, like, she started off very strong. But again, she started off very strong as a primary candidate, you know, back in 2019. So as I'm saying, she's out of the gate now with a bullet. People are happy. She's a happy warrior. Like I said, she's got that brilliant smile. She seems happy to be there. And what a gift that first event was for her to be in the White House instead of Biden, where she greeted the Olympic athletes to send them off, and she had all the metaphors about the race and winning gold and teamwork and sticking together, and it was so clear. She was talking about her campaign as well as them, and just she's got a warmth about her, and you could see she was excited for these Olympians, and you know, it was a lovely note for her to start on, but it's going to get very, very
happen in terms of the so-called independent people like the Lincoln Project who will do for Trump if they can.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, really, they helped Biden a lot. The Democrats are very, very poor. They just haven't got the stomach for battle in the way Republicans do. But those Lincoln guys are tough, let me tell you. They were going all around Milwaukee with the vans and all the anti-Trump ads and all that as well. They will row in behind Kamala Harris because there are a lot. I think even the Nikki Haley voters, let's not forget that even after Trump had effectively won and Nikki Haley had withdrawn, she kept getting up to one in five votes in some states. People who just did not want Trump. She got up to 40% in some states as well. There are people who, they may not be wildly enthusiastic about Kamala Harris, but there are Republicans, there are independents who just do not want Trump. You know, there's also the Robert F. Kennedy wild card there. I think that he now may take more votes from Trump than Harris. Because people were thinking, God, we just, even Democrats were going, we can't vote for Biden. Look at him. And people, Democrats were saying that to me, look at him, you know. And so I think, but this is not to say it's in the bag. This is, and, you know, we had that guy, the Ohio State Senator, George Lang, yesterday saying that there would be civil war if Trump didn't win. I've heard that over and over.
So he will do another January the 6th.
So this is what they're saying. And I think for Trump and Vance and the core MAGA base, the idea of them losing to a woman who's part black, part Asian, and a woman, and that they are convinced they've already won. It's
now,
going to be,
what will happen in the event of Harris winning? She is the vice president. And so we know the last time Mike Pence had a key role to play.
That's right.
Will she as a candidate, she can't have a key role to play in that process?
You know, technically she is still the president of the Senate. And I think that it's her race. I don't know how they're, maybe will it be the, you know, that's a really good question. Who's the second person there?
It would be the speaker. Wouldn't be the next in line, speaker of the Senate, presumably.
Chuck Schumer or Mike Johnson. That's actually something I'm going to have to go and research now, because you're right. That is a really good question.
OK, now another wild card is the presence of Netanyahu in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. This was something that was ginned up by Mike Johnson, who is a very clever and very wily Speaker of the House, but he was a couple of steps ahead there. The assumption was that Biden would still be president, that Netanyahu would further humiliate Biden, further make him look like a weak leader on the international stage, further undermine the success he had with NATO and Ukraine. And Netanyahu is no friend of Biden's. And we've seen what's happened over, you know, since last October, in the way that he has almost gone out of his way, it seemed, to make Biden look weak and ineffective. The ball is being kicked down the road in anticipation of Trump becoming president, in which case Netanyahu has carte blanche to do whatever he wants, basically, in Gaza. Yeah. And that's what they're holding out for. Now, he will be meeting Biden at the White House. He'll also be meeting Kamala Harris at the White House. He'll be meeting Trump on Friday. But there were huge protests last night. A lot of Jewish people are protesting this in Washington. You had members of the hostages' families protesting last night in Washington.
And Chuck Schumer, we know, as a Jew, has already said this guy is past
his
sell-by.
But Chuck Schumer did agree to be present, and as did Hakeem Jeffries. So this is where, as I said, they were outfoxed by Mike Johnson on this. But I think it's now going to not, it's a bit of a mistake. Now, Kamala Harris is on the campaign trail. She won't be there. Normally, you would have the president of the Senate sitting behind him, which is the job. But she has a legitimate reason not to be there. She's
convenient
smart not to
for
be
her.
There. It's very convenient.
All right, Marion, it's fascinating. Absolutely.
It absolutely is, yeah.
Marion McKeown, US correspondent for the Business Post. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.